Well, good morning to you all. We welcome many of you back from your Thanksgiving travels. We thank the Lord for safety that He gave to you. And we're glad to be in the Lord's house today. In our call to worship today, I want to draw your attention to a passage that we're going to be in today. And that's Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. It says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Amen. We're going to be dealing with this subject of why God took His time in bringing His Son into the world. And the biggest thing is that we understand is God is not a creature of time. He's the eternal I Am. And so time was created for us. We have, you know, a dimension that we live in, but then there's the spirit dimension that He is. And so God is never late. He's always on time because He's not a creature of time. He does things according to His will. And it says here, the fullness of time. In God's heart and in God's mind, in the fullness of time, He sent His Son. As He had ordained before the foundation of time, before the creation of the world, He had determined that He would send His Son. But He determined He would do it in His own timing. What a reminder to us all. Whenever we seek God to do something and we want Him to do it right now, can you imagine all the prophets of the past that foretold of one that would come, a deliverer that would come? All the way from Genesis through Malachi, we have this pointing, looking forward. They didn't know who and they didn't know when. They knew it would be a Messiah, a deliverer. But the details, for the most part, were withheld from them. We have glimpses and we have little moments of light, but they're looking forward to the future. And when that fullness of time came, He sent forth His Son, His only Son, the one to whom could only answer our sin and our lawlessness by going to a cross, by becoming flesh, going to the cross and paying that price. And it was in God's perfect timing. We're going to be dealing with this subject of time and timing as we look at why the prophecies of the Old Testament. Why such a long period of time? Remember, that's to us. To the Lord, we're told in Isaiah, 1,000 years is as one day. He's not bound by time. That's what it's saying. People that get into this, oh, we can discern now when things are going to happen because we know that a day equals one thing. No, it's a metaphor. It's an understanding for us that with the Lord, one day is the same as 1,000 days. He's not bound by time. And so I want to encourage you today as we sing these songs and understand that God created something for us. It's called time. And this time should be used for His glory and for His honor. Would you be cognizant of that during this hour that we have here together? That every minute be going to the glory and the praise of Jesus Christ and not thinking about your roast in the oven. Not thinking about, oh, somebody just started a football game on there. We're worried about all these things when we should be focusing upon the Savior. Let's take our hymn books and turn to number 50 in our hymn book. Number 50, that beautiful name. Whose beautiful name? The name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand together as we sing hymn number 50.
Thank you.
Please remain standing as Brother Lynn Smith comes to lead us in prayer.
Father, we thank you that we can come here this morning and praise that matchless, beautiful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, because of him, we're here gathered together to learn more about the Christian life, to pray for one another, to sing songs to your name. And Father, something the world does not know, they do not know the beauty, the forgiveness, or the love of a great God. So Lord, we thank you that you can use us to get that message out. And Father, we need the uplifting as well. So we're grateful for our pastor who does teach and lift us up and help us to grow up. And Father, with all that's going on in the world, we thank you, Lord, that you look down on all this. You're coming for us soon. And I know it renders quickly in Revelation, Father. We know you're coming quickly for us. We know it's been 2,000 years. It could be today. But Father, those things should move us to appreciate you, love you, pray for our adversaries, pray for our families, present the gospel without shame, and enjoy you every moment that you give us in this world. Thank you, Father, for the breath of life, for the food on Thanksgiving, for one another, for intercessory prayer. Thank you for, Lord, allowing us selfishly, I say this, in a nation that has so many blessings and yet disregards much of them to your hand. We thank you, Father, that we are able to worship you. We thank you that we're in a land where the Bible is prevalent and we don't have to hide it. And hopefully that's coming true in our classrooms as well. So, Father, give us a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of forgiveness, and help us to present you as the highest reason for our being here this morning. We do pray for family members who do not know you or will not acknowledge you or are apathetic towards you. But I pray, Father, that your church will not be in that apathy. Help us to enjoy you and to enjoy the truths that we learn, to understand you've enabled us and equipped us to live the Christian life by placing your Holy Spirit in us. And I pray we would do that well. And Father, as we leave a Thanksgiving season, in reality for the Christian, that's every day, we look forward to the coming celebration of the birth of our Savior, at least as a baby into this world, who now is sitting on the throne and coming for us soon. Thank you for this morning, Father, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's turn together now to number 54, just a few pages from where we were at. Oh, how I love the Savior's name, number 54.
Oh,
glory in the Savior's name. Amen. Jesus means Savior, the one who came to save. Christ is the word, the Greek word for Messiah, the promised one. And so we give glory and adoration and praise to Jesus Christ, our Lord, today. Turn together now to number 56. His name is wonderful. That's been our theme this morning in our hymns. Speaking of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, His name is wonderful, number 56. Would you take your Bibles, please, this morning and turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at two passages this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the first 12 verses of this particular passage of Scripture. And we're going to be looking at the truth of why the prophecies. Why the prophecies? We've been dealing with the Old Testament for New Testament believers. And we are introduced to all the major themes, save for the creation of the church, which was something that was shared with the Apostle Paul in God's infinite wisdom in his own time. And we're going to be looking at the factor of time in relationship to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we proceed through the month of December, as that starts tomorrow, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at various themes from the Old Testament that point to Jesus Christ. I want to begin reading in verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 1, and then we're going to flip over to Galatians 4 and read that passage there. I, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Did you see all three persons of the Trinity in that verse? Very clear as to what aspect each one of them are involved together in the unfolding of the plans of God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now notice this, beginning at verse 10 through 12. Of which salvation, the prophets, when did they live? In the Old Testament era. Of which salvation, the prophets, have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what? Or what manner of time, that's in a key word here that I want to emphasize here, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, yet future, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. And then back over in Galatians chapter 4, I want to read again the verses that I read with you before in the opening exercise. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Folks, what we have here is the great unfolding of God interceding in our behalf in time. I want us to bow our heads in prayer and let's go to the Lord and ask his blessing. Father, I thank you so much for your blessed word. I thank you for the truth of the word of God. I thank you for the coming of Jesus Christ in the fullness of time, in the perfect time deigned by the Father to intercede for us, to work in our behalf, to redeem us from the wickedness of sin through the blood of the cross. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we might understand and know the gift of time, that we might also understand the purposes of God that were determined before the gift of time, before the foundation of the world. Lord, we thank you that you are God. We thank you that in our limited stature as human beings, there is the great one, the one who cannot be divided, the one who is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and the one who loved us and sent his Son. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You and I live in a physical world. We know this world in space and time dimensions, all right? Length, width, height, or you may say depth if you wish. And then one other factor, time. You realize the book of Genesis not only records the creation of the heavens and the earth, the creations of light and darkness, the creation of man and female, we also have the creation of time. Time did not exist before this world. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, but there was no time. God created it for this earth. We're creatures of time. We live with alarm clocks. I remember whenever I was a child that I wanted a watch so bad. And my parents brought me a Timex watch when I was 10 years old. They said, when you're 10, we'll trust you with your own watch. And I got a Timex watch, and I used that until I saw everybody at school walking around with LED and LCD watches. Those came out in 1977. You remember the red light LEDs that came out with push buttons? And there I was with my old Timex that I got when I was 10. And I was still wearing it, and I went to my parents and said, this is outdated. And they said, how can it be outdated? It keeps good time. You know, it's never failed you. Timex takes a licking and keeps on ticking. That was my dad talking there. And I remember when Eric Opeger came walking in to band one morning. He had his birthday, and he got an LCD watch, liquid crystal display. That's LCD, for those that are still struggling with the letters there. And it had the push button, date, time. I mean, it was so neat. It was all silver and everything like that. I said, that's it. I got to have one of those. So I started mowing grass like you wouldn't believe. I was saving my money to be able to finally get me. I skipped LED, the red light. I just skipped that altogether. I went to liquid crystal. And boy, when I got that with the light on it, and all the different things, I was keeping time like nobody's business. And you know, those were popular for a few years, and then they went retro again. And, you know, some of those like Seiko, Mr. Opeger had a Seiko watch that he had for many, many years. Do you still have it? Does it still work? Oh, wow. Been doing it for 50, almost 60 years now. Oh, you have to shake your arm. Yeah, they did have those that you shook your arm and it would wind it back. My Timex was the old wind-up type thing. But one of the things that having a watch did for me was marking time. You have to be at school at a certain time. All right, it's time now to get your bikes. You're headed to school. We knew how much time it took to get from 208 Lee Street all the way up here to Chestnut Street. We had it timed out. My brother and I had a big old thing on the back of our bikes that we put our trumpets on. And we would snap it down, wrap it up, and we had our book bag and a basket up in the front, and we looked like we were moving every day. And we were watching to make sure we weren't late. Because Mom and Dad had determined long before we were born that we were going to be on time. We were always the first ones to church. And many times we were earlier than that because Dad drove a bus. And we used to go pick up kids out in East Milton. And so the clock was very, very important. And by the way, it's an abuse of time to waste it or to be late. Because when you're late, you miss something. You may miss an announcement at school that goes out over the loudspeaker at 8 o'clock. Or you may miss something that you should have known a phone call that came through and you missed it because you were late. Now, there are some things that happen that keep us late, but when you're perpetually late, you don't keep time. The Bible says we're to be redeeming it. Redeem the time because the days are evil. We're to use time. God's given to us. It's a gift. Do you want to abuse the gift? No, we should not. But understand something. Though we are creatures of time, God is not. God is not bound by time. God created it in His infinite wisdom and knowledge for us. And our days are marked with time. Yesterday we went over to the memorial service for Brother Barrow. A lot of good memories with him. Good godly man. Worked so hard to put his two girls through Santa Rosa Christian School. I remember him sitting in my office one day and he said, I don't know how I'm going to be able to keep them here. He said, I've lost my job. They laid us off. And so we hired him. And he came to work for us and worked for us, I don't know how long, a couple of years or something of that nature, so he could keep his kids at Santa Rosa Christian School. Then God opened up another job with Gulf Power, and the Lord took care of him for the rest of his days with a good job out there at Gulf Power and doing well. It became Florida Power and Light, I know, but it was Gulf Power at the time when he got the job. And just a good, godly man. A few weeks ago, I ran into him at the post office. We said hi to each other, and I did not realize that'd be the last time I'd ever see him alive. He had a stroke, seemed to be recovering, massive heart attack a week ago, and was gone by Monday morning. And you know, he marked his days. Some of his friends from high school were there. I got to talk to one of them. Matter of fact, they thought I was one of the classmates. I said, I look that old? They're 10 years older than me. They said, are you Mr. Atkinson? You were in our class over at Baker. I said, no, I wasn't. I'm Todd Brainerd. I was in the class at Santa Rosa Christian School. And we talked for a good while. I had a good laugh about it and whatever. But began to tell me about Pharaoh Barrow, what he was like in high school. And whenever he got saved, his life was transformed. That was a moment in time in which he came to faith in Jesus Christ. And he lived his days here upon this earth to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And God called him home last Monday early morning. His days are over. Now he awaits that glorious day when the trump will sound. I almost can imagine the spirits of all the believers that have gone on before waiting for that signal from the Father to the Son. It's time. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to get their new bodies. They're going to have a new body just like their glorious Savior. But again, the Bible says that the Son knoweth not the time. We can't understand that. He knows everything. But within the Trinity, God the Father will give the signal to the Son. And the Son will come down, and He will blow the trumpet, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. But we're going to follow those that have already gone on. They're going to get their new bodies. That will happen in time. We struggle with why, in our perception, God takes so long. Now stop for just a moment. That is such a silly notion to start with if you understand God. He's not bound by height, width, depth, and time. He does things according to His will, not necessarily according to His time, because time He's not bound by. It's His action of will in a moment that we view as time. We would like for things to happen quickly. When we're sitting in line at McDonald's, we're anticipating. I sat in line for 15 minutes last night at McDonald's. Now, I thought it was fast food. And 15 minutes really isn't a long time. But I remember the day, buddy, when they were shooting them through. But this was holiday shift. And the girl that was behind the counter says, I'm going to take your money, and then I'm going to run up and help them in the front, and we'll get your food ready. And she was running back and forth. She was on her feet. I don't know how the poor girl remembered everything that people in line were doing. But they had few workers, and they were trying to get it done where they didn't have to wait so long. God's never in that kind of a rush. God doesn't move that way. God acts according to purpose and will. So I want us to think this morning about this matter of time. I want to draw your attention to a few thoughts in this regard today. Why the prophecies? Prophecies are statements from God, His revelation of His will, that have not been performed yet, but will be performed in time according to His what? His will. All right? So why the prophecies? Why did God choose to use prophecies? There's over 300 Old Testament prophecies that relate to Jesus Christ alone. Not to mention the hundreds of prophecies that are made about the nation of Israel and about the Gentile nations and all the things that God has to take place in the future, His millennial kingdom. There's just hundreds and hundreds of prophecies. Why all these prophecies that are related to time? You go to the book of Daniel and you actually read about the number of days from Daniel's time until the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read about the number of days related to the tribulation period, 7 years. So we're given elements of time throughout the Old Testament. Some of these prophecies have been completely fulfilled. Did Jesus Christ come the first time? Do I hear an amen? Yes, He did. He came in the fullness of time. And He came and He accomplished His purposes in that matter of time. He was here upon this earth for 33 years. That's it. And then He ascended back up into heaven. And we've been waiting, but for God, it's not waiting. It's not waiting. God doesn't wait. We wait upon Him, the Bible says. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Waiting is an element of time related to us. So, 1 Peter 1, 10 through 12 relates to us the Old Testament prophets. Notice again, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. They were prophesying about things that would not happen to them directly. It was yet future for them. They were looking ahead. My dad said something the other day, talking to my son Brian, and he said this. He said, I look at Avery, and I know that I will not be at her wedding. And it just kind of, it hit me. My dad knows that time is limited. She's only 18 months old. And when you look at time like that, it seems almost surreal, does it not? That Dad may not be there. Now, right now, he's doing pretty good at 91. But I don't imagine Dad here at 120, all right? Or 115, I just don't see that. And Dad doesn't mind me talking about that because Dad's a believer in Christ. He knows where he's going. That should thrill your heart, believer. We get upset about time. We struggle with it. What is time? Well, it was created by God. It was given to mankind. And time is simply, in its broadest sense, the ongoing sequence of events from the past through the present into the future. It's the measurement of duration. Our church service normally lasts for an hour. That's a period of time, duration. The framework within which we organize our lives. We organize our lives this morning about coming to worship God. Amen. We wanted to come, and so we dressed up and we got ready to go and we got in our vehicles and we came here, and we're here to worship and sing praises to His name and hear from His Word. That all takes place in time. But there's another function of time, and that is timing. Timing. That function is something that is really, really important. It's more specific. It's more strategic. Timing. It's about choosing the precise moment to act, to speak, to perform an action, to achieve the maximum desired effect. That's timing. So think about that in relationship to God and His work in sending His Son. The distinction between time and timing is evident when you begin to analyze the effect of timing or the impact of timing in various things. For instance, in sports, the timing of a swing may mean a hit or a strike or a ball. Just the timing of that. Here's a MLB pitcher throwing a 101-mile-an-hour fastball, and you get that swing timed just perfectly to hit that ball at the right second over the plate and drive it over the fence. What does that require? Timing. You think about the timing of a swing, a throw, a kick, or a jump that can mean the difference between victory and defeat. A perfectly timed tennis serve can be unreturnable, while a slightly mistimed golf swing, all right, can send the ball way off course as a hook or a slice. Just the timing. Now, in business, the timing of a product launch, a marketing campaign, or a strategic decision can significantly influence the success of that campaign. Launching a new product too early might mean facing a market that's not ready. Or launching too late can mean missing a crucial window of opportunity. Advertising Christmas stuff in January. Ill-timed. Now think about it for just a moment. The art of effective timing lies in understanding some things. And I want you to stay with me now. The art of timing means an understanding of context, understanding of trends, and seizing the opportune moment. And God knows all three. He knows all three. I want the rapture to come right now. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We wouldn't have to die. We wouldn't have to have people file by our casket and look into theirs. So they don't look anything like they did in life. Well, of course not. They're dead. Hello? You know? And we look at pictures. They had a closed casket yesterday, and they had pictures up there of him with his arm around his two girls. I took a picture of that so I would remember that. That's the Pharaoh I remember. Now think about it for just a moment. God understands the context. He understands the trends because He's in charge of all that. He is going to consummate the age on His cue. His cue. I might desire, I say with the Scriptures, even so come Lord Jesus. But He might have Todd Brainerd go through the portal of death first. And that's perfectly fine because that's God doing His timing. God doing His work. Now, I want us to come back to this thought in relationship to God sending His Son. God chose what time to send His Son into this world. It was motivated by love. For God so loved the world that He gave, literally, He sent His only begotten Son. He gave His Son to us. The Old Testament prophets spoke frequently about a coming Messiah. Every page from Genesis to Malachi seems to exude a wonderful anticipation of the Messiah to come. What bound all the readers and writers of the Old Testament together was their identity as a special people chosen by God whom He loved. The Old Testament is the story of the nation of Israel. Now, other nations are mentioned. But isn't it interesting that the majority of the writers of the Old Testament were from one nationality, Israel? Through this particular nation, chosen of God, He sought to evangelize the other nations of the world and share His great love. That nation, Israel, failed to do so. Their disobedience over the centuries caused God to judge them. They were under attack from the very beginning, from the Philistines. You read about other people groups later, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and finally the Romans come against His people. Over time, Israel was taken into captivity and slavery. Their national identity was maintained in pieces and parts. And in 1948, for the first time in centuries, Israel was back in the land. However, they're back in the land in unbelief. They're not there in belief. They're there in unbelief. Nearly 80 years they've been back in the land. To this day, the Orthodox Jews still seek a Messiah who is not Jesus Christ. This is the amazing thing. In evangelizing Jewish people, the first thing you've got to get by is Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Oh, no, He was not. We look for one who's a living Messiah, not one that went to a cross and died. They don't believe He was resurrected. They don't believe that He was the Son of God. And throughout all these years, God has sent spokesmen, priests and prophets that spoke of the Savior, the Messiah, a king who would rescue the nation of Israel from her enemies and herself. As we said, hundreds of prophecies made about Jesus Christ. And the hints that are found in the Old Testament are very suggestive. I want to move ahead here as we think about this. We talked about what time is. Two things are highlighted by the Old Testament prophecies. Who and when? Who and when? Isaiah said that this special deliverer would be born of a virgin. That's not a mistake. That's an accurate translation, born of a virgin. How could this be? Isaiah 7:14. No child has ever been born of a virgin, and yet this deliverer would be. It's like saying that males can give birth to children when you say a virgin can give birth to a child without a male. And yet that's exactly what happened. God overcame Mary and put in her the Christ child. Micah offered a prophecy that was very specific. The deliverer would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, a tiny little village in Judea. This deliverer would also be the ruler whose origin are from everlasting. Two things put together. This child born in Bethlehem is also one who has lived for everlasting, all eternity. How can those two things be true? Humanity and deity put together in one person, Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 says that this deliverer would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. There are references in Psalm 22 that this man of sorrows would be crucified. The writer of the psalm did not even know what crucifixion was. And yet it's prophesied there. Isaiah 53:5 would conclude that this deliverer would be wounded, bruised. Literally crushed is the word there in the Hebrew. For our iniquities, chastised for our peace, our wholeness, and stripes that would heal. That was all prophesied in the Old Testament. Isaiah 49 and verse 6 says that it makes very clear that Messiah's mission would do more than just restore the nation of Israel. This is an important thing. Foretold that not only would this deliverer take care of the nation of Israel, but this deliverer would bring light to the Gentiles and salvation to the ends of the earth. That was prophesied in Isaiah 49 and verse 6. So, why the prophecies, you ask? Why didn't he just send his son back in the Old Testament time and just miss all those bad things that have, oh no, there's still going to be bad things. Have bad things happened since Jesus Christ has come? Yes. They show us, these prophecies show us that Jesus Christ would be a human male who was also divine from everlasting. So, we behold a magnificent God who works his purposes out through the medium of time for us. He faithfully, down to the smallest details, keeps his word. God allowed a lot of time to go by from creation all the way to Bethlehem to show us that he keeps his word. There would be generations that would die in between and would never see the fulfillment of the prophecy. But his word was nonetheless true in their lifetime. We may die before the rapture, but God's word is true nevertheless. Just because it doesn't happen in your lifetime does not mean that God's word is not true. We accept God's word by what? Faith. Faith. The Old Testament prophesied. They knew that this was yet future. It would not happen in their lifetime. And yet it did happen in the fullness of time. So God has a purpose in what we look at as delay. God has a purpose to show us that he was right on time. Everything in the world was just perfect. For you see, the Roman captivity of Israel, Rome had built roads all over the known world. To this very day, just last week, they discovered a Roman road in England that was completely buried under dirt. And this Roman road went 10 miles through what was pasture land. But it was stones that were laid by slaves captured in war. And this road had been built, and people had traveled that road. And the gospel of Jesus Christ would walk on the roads that had been built in the fullness of time. A universal language was spoken by everyone. It was the Greek language. And so everybody knew that. That was the trade language. Koine Greek is the trade language of the day. If you were a mariner, you learned Greek because you had to communicate that when you traveled. Everything was perfect in God's timing. It was not late. But I want you to think about the future. We've lived since the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years. There are some that are questioning, where is the promise of his coming? He hasn't come yet. I don't believe it's true. Well, you are many among many that have lived before that have said the same thing. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that God's word has failed. The word of God is what allows you to breathe this morning. Stay with me now. The word of God, he breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. When you were pulled out of the womb and the doctor spanked you, the first of many, I'm sure, that would come through life, and those lungs began to expand. You know what that was? That was God breathing into you the breath of life. You didn't think about it this morning, but you survived the night by the grace of God. You came to know his Son, Jesus Christ, by the grace of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God. Everything we are today is based on the goodness of God and his blessed word, which is all part of his goodness. The only reason we know about Jesus Christ is because of the Bible. The only way we know of our future is because of the Bible. And the Old Testament and the New Testament meet together in harmony, not dysfunction, not disorganization, but rather in perfect harmony. So why the prophets? To show that God's Word is the thing that connects the beginning from the end. His revelation. We're entering into the Christmas season. We're going to be touching on these things related to the coming of the Lord and how they were prophesied in the Old Testament and how they were fulfilled in the New Testament. But there are many other prophecies that are prophesied in the Old Testament that still haven't happened yet. They're still yet future. Jesus Christ has not ruled on the throne of Jerusalem. Jesus Christ has not appeared and touched down in the three locations that we're told in the Bible when He comes down, He's going to go to. The Battle of Armageddon, He's going to touch down there. He's going to destroy the enemies of Israel. He's going to touch down in Basra to deliver His people that are in hiding. Remember, they were told to run and hide among the rocks in Basra, modern day Petra. He will bring His people out after touching down, and He will finally touch down on the Mount of Olives, and the Bible says it will split in two. The waters of the earth will bubble up and they will flow all the way to the Mediterranean. And that will signal the end of the tribulation period and the beginning of the millennium. That's all yet future. It's a glorious future, folks. The new Jerusalem that He's been building. Lo, I prepare a place for you, and when I come again, I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Will hover over the earth, and we'll be able to move freely from this earth to the new Jerusalem where our mansions are located. Is that future? Oh, He's building it right now. We don't see it. But one day it shall appear. Folks, we have so much to be thankful for today. And understand that God is not slow. God is not behind. God is not in reverse. God is full speed ahead. And one day the trump will sound. And one day the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. And the prophecies that have been foretold will be manifest. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I thank You for Your blessed Word. The Old Testament Scriptures prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus. Even the writers of the Old Testament knew it was yet future. It would not happen during their time. But they wrote of it as having already taken place because God said it. That's how wonderful our Lord's Word is. Thank You, dear Father, for loving us, for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on Calvary's tree. And Lord, as we enter into the Christmas season, I pray that we would use every avenue possible, gospel tracts, gospel Christmas cards, to communicate the truth of Jesus Christ our Savior to as many lost people as we can. Because we do know this, that time is short. We don't know when the rapture is going to take place. We don't know when You're going to call us from this earth. And there are people that are dying every 2 seconds. Across the world, entering into eternity, and many of them without the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that You would fill our hearts with compassion for those that are lost, and that we would care enough to put aside all of our busyness, put aside all of our planning, put aside all of our personal stuff, and care about somebody else, to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for time. And we know that one day time is going to cease and we will enter into eternity where there is no marking of time, no watches, no clocks chiming. It will all be forever past and we will enjoy all eternity with our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts and stir us up for Thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your hymn books, please. And let's turn together to number 154. We're going to sing John 3:16. 154, for God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. Would you stand together, please, as we sing 154? Father, as we're dismissed, I pray that You give us a spirit and a longing for Jesus Christ, our Savior. But I also pray that You'd give us a heart's desire to reach as many people with the gospel as we can. We don't save people. We simply point them to Jesus Christ. May we be faithful in doing so. Lord, watch over Your people. I pray that You'd strengthen and encourage them. Be with those that could not be here today because of sickness or illness. And we pray that You'd bring us back together again this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good afternoon.